Psalm 119, verses 1 through 13 to 120, these are God's words. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your word, that I may live. And do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up, and I shall be safe. And I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. There's a choice that we have to make in order to love God's law. The psalmist here has to hate, be unwilling to abide or endure, tolerate the double-minded in his life. In order to keep the commandments of God, verse 115, he needs to keep himself separate from, depart from me, you evildoers. And so there's this choice between the Lord and the companies of certain types of men, not just those who are evildoers, verse 115, but even those who are half and half. The word translated as double-minded in verse 113, the idea that they can be both for the Lord and for themselves or for wickedness or for anything that is in competition with the Lord. But we desperately need the Lord. If you have to choose between those two, you would best choose the Lord. You need the Lord himself to be your shield and hiding place, verse 114. You can't even live, verse 116, unless it is the Lord who is upholding you. You're not safe, verse 117, unless the Lord holds you up. So the idea that you could ever have life or safety apart from him is a lie. It's a falsehood. It's an idolatry to think that you could have life from someone else or something else or from yourself instead of God, or safety from someone or something else. And so if this is the choice, then we should make that choice. Much better to have the Lord and be lonely in terms of other humans than to tolerate the companionship of those who are half-hearted towards him. They might make a profession of faith. They might have some sound theology. They might even be converted, but they're so fleshly in the way they think, the way they talk, the way they spend time, what they enjoy, that they are half and half. You should not tolerate or abide such people as companions in your life, because you need to walk with the Lord. Now, you aren't entirely alone. The Lord gives himself to you. And he gives himself to you especially by his word. Not abiding the half and halves, or not abiding the double-minded in verse 113, is set over against not just loving the Lord, but loving his law. Because the Lord is hiding place and shield, verse 114, we are to hope in his word. Why? Well, because his law is his way of communicating himself to us. His word is his way of communicating himself to us. And so if our hope is in his word, verse 114, our hope is in him himself. And that hope is not going to be put to shame. It's not going to fail us. Verse 116, do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Now, the amazing thing about our making this choice between God and the companionship of God and the companionship of the wicked is that we are only able to make this choice because God has made a choice of grace. No, he says, you reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Well, we were those who went astray. We were those who were wicked. It's only by God's upholding, verse 116, like we already said, that we live. It's only from God that we are given to become those who keep his word, observe his statutes. Hold me up, he says, and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. So verse 117, his observing God's statutes came from God holding him up. And so what a wonderful truth, reality about our God, that he has made the choice to save some. Otherwise, none of us would be godly. None of us would even be half-hearted. We'd all be wholeheartedly against him. And so there's not just this love for God and hoping in him and commitment to him, but there's also this tremendous reverence. In verse 120, my flesh trembles for fear of you. The word that's being translated here as the trembling of the flesh is actually one that means to have, I think most Americans say goosebumps, some say goose pimples, I think the Brits say goose flesh. But do you know what goosebumps are? When you get the risen bumps like on your arms and the back of your neck, and little hairs on the back of your neck stand up a little bit, and it's a very vivid tactile metaphor experience. Experiential picture of how awed we should be at God, how we should be in wonder at him for his judgments. And his judgments here doesn't just mean his punishments. It is part of his judgments that he has decided, judged for himself, that he would save some. And even as we were hearing in Numbers 20 in the evening sermon at the beginning of this week, and made reference to Romans chapter 9. This is one of the great ways that God glorifies himself. Yes, he glorifies himself by his wrath upon the wicked, putting away all the wicked of the earth like dross. For instance, in verse 119, rejecting all those who stray from his statutes. Verse 118, that is one way that he glorifies himself. But he is especially pleased to glorify or to show the riches of his glory in vessels prepared for mercy. And it should make our hair stand on edge. It should give us goosebumps at the greatness of the glory of our God, who even saves from among sinners, who has made this judgment that he would do so, and has committed himself in the person of his Son to bear the wrath that we deserve, so that he might give himself to us and be our hiding place and our shield and our upholder, so that we live, and the one who holds us up so that we would be safe and that we would observe his statutes. How marvelous is our God, who has been pleased to will, to determine, to plan and accomplish such a salvation as this. And certainly he is worth forsaking the companionship of the wicked. Not just putting away the companionship of the half-hearted, even though we really wish we could be their friends, but being opposed in our heart to the very idea of taking as companions in our life those who are half-hearted towards God. And so may the Spirit give us so to treasure and revere the Lord, that we would make that choice in response to his choice of saving us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for giving us this time to consider this portion of your word, so that when we read people of double mind I hate and sing it and pray it, we would be able to do so in context, We pray that you would save those who are hostile to you, those who are double-minded about you, that you would save and sanctify, but give us, O Lord, and the choice of companions for our lives, to choose you first and foremost by your word, and then along with you those other believers whom you are making like-minded by the work of your Spirit, conforming them to Christ, and to work in us in such a way that other believers whom you are making wholehearted towards you would be glad to have us as companions in that fellowship into which you have brought us. Give us wisdom, O God, when there are events or social dynamics and we're tempted to wish that we could be included. Conform us to your word, that we would rather hate to be included in those things that comprise half-heartedness towards you. How we thank you for loving us and taking us to be your own. Forgive us for how fleshly and worldly we often are in our thoughts. We look forward to your finishing the work that you have begun, so that we will no longer be partially sanctified, but one day have characters that are fully conformed to that of Christ your Son, through whom also we ask this prayer. Amen.